our Old Testament reading, Deuteronomy 11 and verses 13 through 17. That will be followed by our New Testament reading from Acts chapter 20. Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there be no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Right in the middle of that paragraph, notice the words, take heed to yourselves. We'll find that phrase in our New Testament text as well. Let's turn then to Acts 20. Acts 20, and we will read this morning verses 25 through 31. This will be the same text that we read last Lord's Day, but we're going to continue in the text this morning. Acts 20 and verses 25 through 31. The Apostle Paul is greeting the elders from the church at Ephesus, and here's what he says. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. The word of our God. Well, the title of the message this morning is Take Heed to Yourselves. The text, that particular statement was found in both our Old and New Testament texts. Well, this is the second sermon on our Acts text. This is a very rich text that cannot be adequately treated in one sermon. The context is the Apostle Paul's address to the Ephesian elders. Paul was in a hurry to get back to Jerusalem, so from Miletus he sent for the elders of the church in Ephesus, and they traveled about 50 miles over land and sea to spend some time with him. Interestingly, now it would be a journey entirely over land because the coastline is filled in with silt and there's no more sea. But anyway, back at the time of Paul, he was sailing back to Jerusalem, and he called to the elders of Ephesus to come to him at Miletus. Well, we might think of this as the elders going on retreat to consider their calling and ministry. What a spiritual treat it would have been to go on retreat with the great apostle and theologian, Paul. The Holy Spirit of God wisely recorded the substance of Paul's remarks for the benefit of elders in every age. We're going to consider it this morning under three heads: take heed to yourselves, take heed to the flock, give heed to the shepherd. Well, let's consider these points in turn. First, take heed to yourselves. The Apostle Paul is speaking face to face with the elders of the church at Ephesus. Face to face communication is best, but with electronic communication, it is becoming rarer. When the God of heaven wanted to communicate with man, he did it in person. Before the fall, he came and spoke with Adam and Eve directly in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. After the fall, the only way that sinners can communicate with a holy God is through a mediator. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, who came into this world in the flesh. He ate and drank with his disciples and preached to the crowds. He brought God's message personally at great cost. In our text this morning, the elders of Ephesus have gathered with the Apostle Paul. He is held in great esteem by these men, and they have traveled at great personal cost in time, lost work, and hardship to be with him. Thus, they are motivated to hear what he has to say. The summary of his message is, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. This is a twofold command, and we're going to consider each part separately. First, take heed to yourselves. Take heed means pay careful attention to. Yourselves is plural, but plainly the thought is that each elder is to take heed first to his own life, to pay careful attention to his own life. Here then is a first priority of a church elder, to pay careful attention to his personal life. In the case of a worldly occupation, a man's or woman's personal life is not particularly germane. If I go to market to buy vegetables, what I want is to buy good quality vegetables at a fair price. The life and character of the person selling them to me is not particularly germane, as long as he treats me fairly and with respect. Is he a good husband and father? Does he instruct his children in the way of the Lord? Hopefully, yes. But if so, it is not a deal breaker. I'm sorry, if not so, it is not a deal breaker. A man might be a failure in his personal or family life, but still be a good seller of vegetables. But in the case of a church officer, his personal life is germane. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a man of perfect character. He is the Holy One of God. God himself is holy, and the mediator is holy. When God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," it very much matters that God himself is holy. God's law is a reflection of his holy character. His law has moral force because God himself embodies the character described in his law. Well, so it is with the church elder. If he tells his flock to follow God, then he himself ought to be a follower of God. If he tells his flock to treat people with kindness, then he himself ought to treat people with kindness. If he tells his flock to keep the Sabbath, then he himself ought to keep the Sabbath. The elder's message ought to be an extension of his person. So the Holy Spirit wisely tells the elders of the church, take heed to yourselves. Take heed. Pay careful attention to your personal life. Make sure you are modeling what you preach. The command is plural. Take heed to yourselves. But the responsibility for carrying out the duty is to each elder personally. In 1 Timothy 4:16, the command is singular. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. As a young pastor, Timothy was responsible to take heed to himself, that is, to pay careful attention to his own personal life. Before he opened his mouth to teach God's word, doctrine, he was to take heed to himself, his life. Was he telling people that God must have first place in their lives? Then God must have first place in his life as well. Was he telling people to give up their idols? Then he must give up his as well. Was he telling people to treat the holy name of God with respect? Then he must be careful to treat the holy name of God with respect as well. Was he telling people to keep the Sabbath day holy? Then he better keep the Sabbath himself. Was he telling people to love God and love their neighbor? Then he better love God and love his neighbor. This is the duty of church elders, pastors, overseers. But it is also the duty of every Christian. As members of God's spiritual family, we represent our Father, and we should embody the family likeness. Each of us should take heed, that is, pay careful attention to our character and our personal life. Each of us should pay careful attention to our personal commitment to the Lord. Are we committed to love Him with all our heart, to obey His word fully, to bring into captivity every thought to His obedience? We must give thought to our priorities. Christ must at all times be our highest priority. Is this evident in our lives? Do we manage our time appropriately? We say we love Christ. How much time do we spend with Him in prayerful contemplation of His Word? Does Christ rule over our family? Are we honestly endeavoring to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Do we have faithful children not accused of riot or unruly? Titus 1:6. For as Paul says, if we do not rule our house well, our own house well, how shall we take care of the church of God? 1 Timothy 3:5. Church elders have a special responsibility to guard their heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. As Solomon tells the reader, my son, give me thine heart. God is speaking through that, and he's telling us, my son, give me thine heart. God wants our heart. Are you an elder, or do you aspire to the office of elder? Then take heed to yourself. Well, secondly, take heed to the flock. The second part of Paul's command to church elders is take heed to the flock. Here are the words from our text. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. Notice, he is speaking to elders, namely the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he recognizes them as overseers, and he commands them to shepherd the flock. So keep those three ideas closely connected. Elders, shepherds, overseers. We see the same pattern in 1 Peter 5:1 and 2 from a different apostle, from Peter. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Again, the same three ideas: elder, shepherd, overseer. In the New Testament, the terms elder, pastor, and overseer refer to the same person. Elder refers to spiritual maturity. Overseer refers to his office. And pastor refers to his work of feeding the flock and nourishing them with the truths of Scripture. The elders of the church, always plural, as we have before pointed out, are appointed to the office of overseer and have the responsibility to teach the Word of God to their people. Well, notice the force of the phrase, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The word for overseer is episkopos. Epi means upon or over. It is the root of our English word upon. As a matter of fact, they kind of rhyme. Epi, upon. You can sort of hear how it migrated into English. Skopos comes from a verb meaning to peer about. It comes into our English in our word telescope. The episkopos is an overseer, someone who's overseeing the flock, a man having spiritual oversight in the church. The word occurs a handful of times in the New Testament. In the King James Version, it is uniformly translated bishop, except for this one text where it is rendered overseer. When the apostle says, take heed to the flock, he is referring to the elder's duty, together with the whole session, to oversee the spiritual life of the congregation of God's people. The overseer or bishop always carries out the functions of his office in concert with other overseers. In biblical government, there is always a plurality of eldership. The only single person to which a person owes total and unquestioned obedience is the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other person demanding total and unquestioned obedience is a usurper and a tyrant, and is to be resisted. Contrary to the practice of episcopacy, Romanism, Anglicanism, etc., there is no biblical pattern of a bishop having sole oversight over a congregation or a group of congregations. So the elder's duty with the whole session is to give spiritual oversight to the people under his care. The church, at the man's ordination, has acknowledged his spiritual authority. The church has vowed to acknowledge and receive this brother as a ruling elder, and promised to yield to him all that honor, encouragement, and obedience in the Lord, to which his office, according to the Word of God and the constitution of this church, entitles him. The elder likewise has vowed before God. Not only the congregation has vowed, the elder has vowed. He's taken this vow: do you accept the office of a ruling elder in this congregation? And promise, in reliance on the grace of God, faithfully to perform all the duties thereof? The vow for a minister is similar. So in a Presbyterian church, the congregation has voluntarily put itself under the care of its elders. And the elders, ruling elders or teaching elders, pastors, have vowed faithfully to perform the duties of their office. And the apostle's words, take heed to the flock, apply to all those men set apart by the church to special office. And note, the importance of the office is seen in the fact that it is the Holy Spirit who has made men overseers. In other words, it's God himself, through the inward call of his spirit, ratified by the church, that makes men overseers. And you ought to know that when a man is called as a minister or as a ruling elder or as a deacon, that it's the responsibility of the court that's going to ordain him, to examine him, and to satisfy itself that he has the requisite character and knowledge of an officer in the church. But it's not, strictly speaking, the church that makes men overseers. It's the Holy Spirit through the church that makes men overseers. The book of Acts has been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit because the third person of the Holy Trinity figures so prominently in this text. It is through the Holy Spirit that Christ gave commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen. It is the Holy Spirit who is the promise of the Father. It is by the Holy Spirit that the apostles would be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It is the Holy Spirit who is poured out upon the church on the day of Pentecost. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit which is given to all true believers. It is by the filling of the Holy Spirit that the apostles preached with power, speaking the word of God with boldness. It is the Holy Spirit who makes men episcopi, bishops, overseers. And their God-given duty is to take heed to the flock under their care. In other words, the office of an overseer in Christ's church is not just a figurehead, not just a source of pride. I am a presbyter. You have to give me respect. It's not that. Possession of the office requires the overseer to actively shepherd the souls under his care. Unless a man, by reason of incapacity or advanced age, is granted emeritus status, the apostolic command applies to him. Take heed to the flock. And the primary duty, as shown by the words following, is to feed the church of God, KJV, King James, or shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, New King James. The word feed comes from the verb form of the word for shepherd or pastor. The elder's duty then is to feed the flock of Christ with spiritual food appropriate to the spiritual state of the people under his care. At times, a congregation might need the milk of the word. A more mature congregation might need the meat of the word. A wise shepherd knows his sheep, knows their capacity, knows the challenges they are facing, and feeds them with food appropriate to their situation. But all elders, ministers or teaching elders or ruling elders, must be apt to teach. Grace OPC is blessed to have ruling elders who are capable of teaching adult Sunday school or even filling in for the pastor on rare occasions. But the minister's primary job is teaching, fulfilling the biblical command, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine, which is another word for teaching, 1 Timothy 5:17. Ministers or teaching elders give their life to labor in the word and doctrine. Teaching the word is their primary work. This is why the form for calling a pastor includes the language that you may be free from worldly care and employment. We promise and oblige ourselves to pay you the sum of, and whatever the amount is that has been agreed on. Holy Scripture gives us the reason. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. 1 Timothy 5:18. In addition to preaching and teaching the word publicly, ministers and elders are also to teach from house to house. Acts 20, verse 20. Wherever ministers and elders go, they are to be ministers of the word, teaching by both word and example. As I stated moments ago, elders are episcopi, bishops, overseers. Christ himself is the supreme bishop. As Peter reminds us, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls." 1 Peter 2:25, King James Version. Christ is the bishop and overseer of our souls. Those who serve as bishops or overseers in his church watch out for the flock on Christ's behalf. This leads us to our third point. The third point is, give heed to the shepherd. Our text instructs the elders of the church to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Clearly, this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for his people's sins. We read in John's Gospel that one of the soldiers carrying out his crucifixion pierced his side with a sword, and out of it poured blood and water. In Romans 3, it asserts that God has set forth Christ to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Hebrews 9:22 states that without shedding of blood is no remission. Clearly, blood refers to the death of Christ. Our confession of faith, chapter 8, is entitled, "Of Christ the Mediator." It demonstrates from Scripture that God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, eternally divine, was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He took on a human nature, yet he remained fully God. Jesus is thus the God-man who went to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. Notice the remarkable language in our text this morning. Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is very striking language. The eternal God cannot change and cannot die. Yet Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks of the church which God purchased with his own blood. The blood of God. How could this be? The confession explains that Christ, in his work of mediation, acts according to both natures, by each nature doing that which is proper to itself. Yet, by reason of the unity of the person, that which is proper to one nature is sometimes attributed in Scripture to the person denominated by the other nature. Now, this observation had been previously observed almost a century before in the 1560 Geneva Bible, which noted, and listen very carefully, this is maybe even a little simpler than what the confession says. It noted this, that which pertains to the humanity of Christ is here attributed to his divinity because of the communion of the properties and union of the two natures in one person. So here is the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. The 19th century theologian Robert Shaw explained, "The works particular or peculiar to each nature are ascribed to the person of Christ in which both natures are united. The human nature alone could suffer and die. Yet it is said, the Lord of glory was crucified and God purchased the church with his own blood." What a costly salvation. It required the death of Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the God-man. Church elders are charged to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Here is a clear proof of the deity of Christ. The blood with which he purchased his church was the blood of God. The reason the members of the church give heed to their bishops or overseers is because they represent Christ. In him alone is salvation. Apart from him, there is no salvation. Apart from his church, there's no ordinary possibility of salvation. For it is his church alone that was purchased with his precious blood. In our highly individualistic American culture, there has arisen the notion that a person may receive Christ yet remain outside his church. And this is a perfectly acceptable state of affairs. Yet the book of Acts teaches us that they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. To what were they added? To the church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Christian, you are saved to live in fellowship and harmony with your brothers and sisters in the Church of Jesus Christ. Speak to one another. Encourage one another. Learn from one another. Don't run from the church. Embrace it as your spiritual family, your dear brothers and sisters with whom you will spend eternity. Brothers and sisters, you all have a responsibility to take heed to yourselves. Ruling elders and ministers, you have a responsibility to take heed to the flock. Every human being has the responsibility to give heed to the shepherd. He alone came into the world to save sinners. He alone purchased a people for God's own possession with his own precious blood. Amen. Let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Our dear Lord, we do thank you that the church of God is purchased at the cost of the blood of God. You, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the one who left heaven's glory to come to earth, to live among sinners, to interact with them personally, to show them the truth, to declare that you yourself are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through you. Lord, we are so thankful to be part of the church which God purchased with his own precious blood. Lord, I pray that you will give us the grace, all of us, to take heed to ourselves. Help us, Lord, not just to coast through life, not really thinking about the reason why we are here. Help us, Lord, to continue day by day to bring every aspect of our lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for the elders who are among us as they shepherd or feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own precious blood. Lord, we pray that you will give our elders insights into your word. Give them understanding of the thrust of the totality of your word. Lord, I pray that you would enable them to feed the flock with spiritual nourishment that is befitting to where they are in life. Lord, I pray that you will help our elders to be men of insight and understanding, men who know the times and know the dangers and are able to protect the flock from the ravenous wolves that want to destroy it. And Lord, we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one to whom all men and women the world over, no matter what their background, what their culture, what their predispositions are responsible to come to you through the only mediator whom you have provided. Lord, we do thank you that you are on the throne. We thank you that you are working unseen to bring every part of your will to completion, to perfect that which you have ordained from eternity past. Lord, be glorified in your church by Christ Jesus. We pray all these things in his precious and worthy name. Amen.